From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. World leaders from the United Nations on down to individuals in Alaska communities are still working to contain the COVID-19 pandemic. There's the actual coronavirus to deal with, but there's also a torrent of viral misinformation undermining the effort. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports on how that's playing out in Juneau.
Donna Pratt was sick with COVID-19 for most of July. The 63-year-old Juneau woman could barely breathe on her own, was too weak to stand, and was in constant pain. She was scared for her life and frustrated that others weren't taking the pandemic seriously. From her isolated hospital room with tubes in her nose, she opened up about how she felt. It was her sixth day in Bartley Regional Hospital's critical care unit.
It is so hard, and I have nobody here with me. I'm by myself. I'm by myself, and I'm fighting. I'm fighting for my life, and I want to live.
Her husband and son were also sick with COVID-19, but she had it the worst. She has asthma and lung disease. She also addressed some conspiracy theories about the pandemic.
This is not a joke. I am not being paid to do this as a hope. This is real life. This is my real life.
While Donna Pratt struggled to breathe in her hospital bed, locals were sounding off in a public hearing about a proposal to mandate wearing masks to curb the spread of the coronavirus. More than a third of the people who spoke opposed it. Some made misleading scientific claims. Stephen Paddock mentioned studies published pre-pandemic, quote, before it became political.
Even N95 masks don't do anything. The effectiveness hasn't been shown. And actually, cloth masks make things worse. It collects moisture, houses bacteria, and allows passage even better.
There is some good science about how ineffective cloth masks are for protecting the wearer. But there's a mountain of scientific and anecdotal evidence, even cool super slow motion videos, showing how effective various masks are at protecting other people from the mask wearer. John Hyacin alleged the mask mandate was a politically motivated ploy to affect elections. He said the mandate fed public fear, which could benefit one political side. Tom Williams said the numbers didn't warrant the mask mandate.
It's enough already. As we test more and more people, we're clearly seeing a higher infection rate. But what we are not seeing is a significant spike in the number of Juneau hospitalizations and deaths. The point is we're doing fine with current and local restrictions.
Donna Pratt said comments like these make her question others' empathy.
Makes me feel like, how could they not care about what's going to happen to their neighbor, about what's going to happen to their child, about what's going to happen to the elder?
She says, without masks, more vulnerable people like her will catch COVID-19. Pratt eventually pulled through and was discharged, and the Juneau Assembly wasn't swayed. It voted unanimously to pass the mask mandate. But the state's top public health officials say that misinformation is a problem. Coleman Cutchins is a clinical pharmacist who leads the state's testing program.
I mean, I think we live in a day and an age where there's so much information. I mean, we essentially all, most of us carry the wealth of information on the internet around in our pocket. I think the really hard part is discerning what is reliable information.
Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink said clear communication is especially important during a pandemic. She had a more optimistic take on the accessibility of information.
Part of me has really enjoyed that aspect. While I don't enjoy the, you know, kind of meaningful misinformation, I love all the citizen scientists out there figuring out, you know, PCR and what that means and incubation periods and asking such tremendously important questions and understanding what that looks like.
Juneau's emergency mask mandate expires on October 19th. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Family members say on Facebook that Donna Pratt died over the weekend on September 5th. We haven't learned the circumstances yet, but we'll update the story when we learn more. Winter is coming, and the competition over a popular trail in Juneau has pit winter sport enthusiasts against each other. One group says they should have restricted winter access to the snow. The other feels that public lands should be shared among all users. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
For half the year, a locked gate blocks vehicle access on Montana Creek Road past a certain point. But snow machines and four-wheelers can still get to the road through a side entrance. That's caused problems for the Juneau Nordic Ski Club, which has its own grooming equipment and spends hundreds of hours maintaining a cross-country trail along the road every winter.
We're expending member dollars to buy the equipment and the fuel and the repairs.
That's Frankie Pilafont. She's president of the club.
And then if somebody goes up there on a motorized, it takes us hours to fix it. Not, you can't simply just run up there and groom it, smooth it down. It takes more work.
She says in other places she's lived in Alaska, like Anchorage and Fairbanks, there's plenty of space and snow for cross-country skiing. But in Juneau, that's not the case.
Montana Creek is what we call our snow hole. It has snow when there's no snow anywhere else to ski on, whether it's the campground or the lake or Eagle Crest.
As winters get warmer, it's getting harder to access reliable snow for skiing. Pilafont says safety is also an issue when motorized vehicles are on the road. So the club sent a request to the city, asking them to restrict winter access so that only cross-country skiers, hikers, and other non-motorized users could access the road. But Montana Creek is also the way to get to state lands popular with ATV and snow machine users. That request didn't sit well with them.
We're all for having all kinds of activities up that area. It's public land. It should be shared publicly.
Darren Crapo is part of the Juneau Off-Road Association. The group circulated a petition with more than 1,000 signatures and encouraged off-road enthusiasts to let the city know how they feel about losing access to Montana Creek. The response has been vocal online. ATV and snow machine users have limited options to ride legally in Juneau.
It sets, to me, a dangerous precedent where what else are we going to lose? Who else is going to lose? What's the next group that gets denied something?
Crapo says he tried to reach out to the club to find a compromise between off-road vehicles and cross-country skiers. But that conversation didn't go anywhere. And Pilafont says she feels they already have compromised.
If it went the way we'd like it, we get it from November to May, and they get it from May to November.
In the end, the city will decide who gets winter access. They're taking public comment between now and September 30th. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee is scheduled to discuss the topic on October 12th. They'll likely make a recommendation to the city manager, hopefully before the snow starts to fall. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
Alaska has reached a settlement with an advocacy group in a dispute over involuntary commitments of people suffering mental health crises before they receive treatment from healthcare professionals. KTUU-TV reported the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and the Center reached a settlement after a series of lawsuits. The Disability Law Center maintained that a lack of timely evaluations while holding people in jails or emergency units is unconstitutional. The center sought to end the practice of holding mental health patients while they awaited services through the state-run Alaska Psychiatric Institute. In Anchorage, Jack Little has seen a lot of friends in the restaurant industry endure tough times during the pandemic. He figures a $500 tip can give some waiters a boost, so he is accepting money from friends or big tips through the nationwide Venmo challenge. He says he has raised nearly $7,000 that he doles out to whoever waits on him when he goes out to eat. Angelina Backus, one of the recipients, says her tip came at just the right time as she was struggling to make ends meet. The National Restaurant Association says the industry has lost millions of jobs. Governor Mike Dunleavy's office says he currently does not see a need to fill the state House seat left vacant by the death of Representative Gary Knopp when voters will decide a successor to Knopp in November. Knopp was one of the seven people who died in a plane collision shortly before the Republican primary in which he was running. Republicans sent Dunleavy a list of candidates to consider appointing to the seat, including Ronald Gilham, who was running in the primary. Gilham won the primary and is set to face non-affiliated candidate James Baisden in the November 3rd general election. You're listening to KTOO News 104.3 FM in Juneau.